I saw then in my dream that Christian went on joyfully until he came to a low-lying place, where he saw, a little out of the way, three men fast asleep with chains upon their feet. The name of the one was Simple, the second Sloth, and the third Presumption. Christian went to see if perhaps he might wake them and cried, "You are like those who sleep on top of a mast, for the Dead Sea is under you, a gulf that has no bottom. Awake, therefore, and come away, and if you are willing, I will help you take off your shackles." He also told them, "If he that goes about like a roaring lion comes by, certainly you will become prey for him." With that they looked at him, and began to reply in this manner. Simple said, "I see no danger." Sloth said, "Let me sleep a little more." And Presumption said, "I can make it myself without any help from you." So they lay down to sleep again, and Christian went on his way. Yet he was troubled to think that men in such danger should think so little of his kindness in freely offering to help them, both by awakening them, counseling them, and offering to help them remove their chains. And as he was troubled about that, he spied two men come tumbling over the wall on the left side of the narrow way, and they hurried to catch up to him. The name of the one was Formalist, and the name of the other Hypocrisy. So, as I said, they drew up to him, and he entered into conversation with them. "Gentlemen, where do you come from and where are you going?" Christian asked. Formalist and Hypocrisy replied, "We were born in the land of vainglory and are going to Mount Zion for the purpose of doing a praiseworthy thing." "Why didn't you enter at the gate which stands at the beginning of the way? Don't you know that it is written that he who does not come in by the door but climbs up some other way is a thief and a robber? To go to the gate for entrance is considered too far by all our countrymen. Therefore the usual way is to take a short cut and climb over the wall as we have done." "But won't it be considered a trespass against the Lord of the city where we are going to thus violate his revealed will?" asked Christian. "As for that, don't trouble yourself about it. For what we did is according to custom, and we can produce, if need be, testimony that would attest that it has been so for more than 1,000 years.
"But will your practice hold up in a court of law?"
"That custom being so long a standing over 1,000 years would doubtless now be admitted as legal by an impartial judge. And besides, if we get into the way, why does it matter which way we get in? If we are in, we are in. You came in at the gate, and we came tumbling over the wall. In what way is your condition better than ours?"
"I walk by the rule of my master," said Christian.
"You walk by the ignorant working of your own imagination. You are considered thieves already by the Lord of the way. Therefore I doubt that you will be found true men at the end of the way. You come in by yourselves without his direction, and shall go out by yourselves without his mercy."
To this they had little to say, only to tell him to mind his own business. Then I saw that they went on, each in his own way, without much conversation between them, except that these two men told Christian that as far as laws and ordinances were concerned, they thought they should abide by them as conscientiously as he. Therefore they didn't see how he was any different from them except for the coat on his back, which was, they thought, given to him by some of his neighbors to hide the shame of his nakedness.
Christian said, "You will not be saved by laws and ordinances, since you did not come in by the door. And as for this coat on my back, it was given me by the Lord of the place where I am going, and that, as you say, to cover my nakedness with. And I take it as a token of his kindness to me, for I had nothing but rags before. And besides, I comfort myself with this thought as I travel. Surely, I think, when I come to the gate of the city, the Lord will know me since I have his coat on my back, a coat he gave me freely in the day that he stripped me of my rags. I have, moreover, a mark on my forehead, which perhaps you have not noticed, which one of my Lord's most intimate associates placed there on the day that my burden fell off my shoulders. Moreover, at that time, I was also given a scroll, sealed, which I can comfort myself by reading as I go on the way. I was also told to turn it in at the celestial gate to assure my admittance. But I suppose it is unlikely that you want any of these things, because you did not come in at the gate. They didn't reply to his comments except to look at each other and laugh. Then I saw that they all went on, but Christian kept in front of them, talking only to himself, sometimes with a sigh, and sometimes with assurance. Also, he often read the scroll that the Shining Ones had given him, and was refreshed by it. They all went on till they came to the foot of the hill Difficulty, at the bottom of which was a spring. There were also in the same place two other paths besides that which came straight from the gate. One turned to the left, and the other to the right at the bottom of the hill. But the narrow path went right up the hill, and it was called Difficulty. Christian now went to the spring, and drank to refresh himself, and then began to go up the hill, saying, "The hill, though high, I covet to ascend. The difficulty will not me offend. For I perceive the way to life lies here. Come, pluck up heart, let's neither faint nor fear. Better, though difficult, the right way to go, than wrong, though easy, where the end is woe." The other two also came to the foot of the hill, but when they saw that the hill was steep, and that there were two other ways to go, and figuring that on the other side of the hill these two paths would meet up with the one Christian had taken, they decided to take those paths. Now the name of the one was Danger, and the name of the other was Destruction. So the one took the way called Danger, which led him into a great wood, and the other took the way to Destruction, which led him into a wide field full of dark mountains, where he stumbled and fell and rose no more. Shall they who wrong begin, yet rightly end? Shall they at all have safety for their friend? No, no, in headstrong manner they set out, and headlong will they fall at last, no doubt. I then watched Christian go up the hill, for I saw him go from running to walking, and from walking to climbing, on his hands and knees, because it was so steep. Now about halfway up the hill was a pleasant shelter covered with trees and vines, provided by the Lord of the hill for the refreshing of weary travellers. And when he got there, Christian sat down to rest. Then he pulled his scroll out and read it for comfort. He also began to think about the coat that was given to him as he stood by the cross. This was all very pleasant, and at last he dozed off, lightly at first, and then into a deep sleep, which detained him in that place until it was almost night, and in his sleep his scroll fell out of his hand. Now as he was sleeping, one came to him and woke him, saying, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise." And with that Christian suddenly got up and hurried on his way until he came to the top of the hill. Now when he got up to the top of the hill, two men ran into him at full speed. The name of the one was Timorous, and the other Mistrust. "Sirs, what's the matter?" said Christian. "You are running the wrong way." "We are going to the city of Zion and manage to get as far as this difficult place," answered Timorous. "But the further we go, the more danger we meet, so we are turning back." "Yes," said Mistrust. "For just ahead lie a couple of lions. Whether asleep or awake, we don't know, but we are certain if we come within their reach, they will tear us to pieces."